Minister, first of all, thank you for joining us on Conversation With.
Thank you for having me, Sumisha.
Okay, Minister, it has been more than a month since Pakatan Harapan formed government. And you, after years of being in the opposition, are now in government. And you are seeing what it's like on this side. Did you expect to find what you did when you took over the finance ministry?
Well, Sumisha, to be very frank, I thought things would not be that good. But we never expected it to be that bad. So I was quite dismayed. On the first day I reported for duty, I was confronted with the fact that there was a systematic attempt to deceive the people of Malaysia. Number one, there was a falsification of the government accounts. Number two, there were hidden files. And number three, of course, there were red files. Red files where access is only limited to one or two people. So I think that showed that they were deceiving the people of the true state of affairs. That our finances was not what they made it out to be. It was much worse than it was. So of course, we have to start afresh by healing our nation's finances, promote transparency and accountability, so our books would be an open book. That what you see is what you get. And I think that is the right way forward, because people want to know the true and fair view. Not numbers that are cooked up or numbers that are massaged.
Minister, one of the contributors to this debt and a company that has made headlines is One Malaysia Development Berhad. Is the situation really as bad as the headlines that have existed for so long?
Oh, it is. You know, the first file that they gave to me to sign was to pay one MDB debts. And I was thinking that I would be signing something that would benefit ordinary people. Instead, I have to sign the debt payment by the Malaysian government on behalf of one MDB. And I said, I'm not going to do that. The first document or the first approval that I signed, I don't want it to be one MDB. So I signed that later, of course. But it was then that I discovered that the Malaysian government had already paid 7 billion ringgit on behalf of one MDB. And they had lied to the people of Malaysia when they claimed that one MDB was able to sustain its finances and was able to pay its debts. In fact, it was the Malaysian government that was paying off one MDB debts. The worst is yet to come. In the sense, we have to pay another 38 billion ringgit until 2039. Now, if you include interest, that will come up to 50 billion ringgit. Now, that's a huge sum by any standard, Sumisha. Imagine 50 billion ringgit. If that amount of money is used for the people of Malaysia, how much that would have brought in terms of greater benefits and, of course, a better livelihood for many of us.
Much has been said about former Prime Minister Najib Razak's role in 1MDB and as the former Finance Minister. Is he responsible?
Well, I would personally think that he's fully responsible. Only the Finance Minister can authorise these transactions. But of course, this is a matter for the investigative panel to decide. And if they think that charges are necessary for the courts to decide. So much as I feel that that the buck stops at the former Finance Minister's desk, we'll let investigation and due process take its course.
But based on what you've seen so far, you feel there's enough liability on his part?
The nexus is very clear.
What can you tell us about what's happening so far with
him? Again, Sumisha, this is for the investigative panel to proceed and to make the necessary comments. I would prefer to stick to my duty to see how we can heal our nation's finances that has been almost wrecked by these abuses and excesses. But having said that, Sumisha, let me also emphasize that you know, when you look at the glass, don't look at it only half empty. You should also look at it half full. We should feel fortunate that we are able to change the government now. If the previous government is given another term, I think the 1 trillion ringgit debt will become easily 3 trillion ringgit. So by that time, nothing we do will be able to save the country. I would even think that we'll be beyond salvation then. But now that we are here, I think we still have an opportunity to get things right. And after we heal the nation's finances, I'm confident, as what the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, has said, that Malaysia can be a runaway success.
Let's talk about that healing the nation. How hopeful are you that things can actually be turned around, and how soon are you expecting that to happen?
Well, according to the previous government, our federal government debt is only 50% of our GDP. Our findings have disclosed that it's actually 80%. Now, 80% is not good, but it is still salvageable. We can still save it. Imagine if it has become 300%. I think that would be beyond salvation.
Is there a timeline for this, of when you hope to heal the nation by, or when do you think it will actually be considered healed, so to speak?
I wouldn't want to put a time frame there, but we will need some time.
There has been some comments that you're still talking as if you're in the opposition, that you shouldn't actually be revealing every finding that you have. What's your response to that?
Well, I do admit that there's been some criticisms that I should be more tactful than truthful. But I feel that the truth shall set you free. And it's time that we tell the community, including the financial community, what is the actual situation. It's always been said that we must be brave enough to speak truth to power. But what about power speaking truth to the people? And I think that the time has come for Malaysia, the new Malaysia, to show its true face, upholding the truth that what you see is what you get. And I think that would, in the long term, gain the confidence and the appreciation of the financial community. It's very important that you retain their confidence. Because when you have confidence, when you are able to gain their confidence, investments will flow in. Confidence is a very nebulous thing. It's either you have it or you don't have it. If you don't have it, even though you invest a lot of money, the investors will not come in, even if you ask them to come in for free. But if they have confidence, they will put money there for you. And that is why it's important that we gain confidence that Malaysia means business, that we want to comply to international norms, and that we want to do things the right way.
One of the things that your revelations has done, however, is it's inspired people to start contributing money to the government. And one way that the government has supported these efforts is to set up your own fund, the Tabung Harapan Malaysia Fund. Now, that's a bit unorthodox for a government to collect funds, and it's in the millions of ringgit right now. What do you think about this, and what are you actually going to do with the money?
Well, this government is going to be unorthodox, but let us be unorthodox for the right reasons. Of course, we have also been criticised for setting up this Malaysia Hope Fund. But this is not so much as to get enough funds to repay our debts. You know, 1 trillion is a huge amount by any standards. Basically, any newborn baby would immediately owe 33,000 ringgit. And no amount of money collected will be sufficient to pay off this 1 trillion debt. But when we set up the fund, our main intention was to allow the people to come together so that everyone can do their bit, do their part. Even if they give 1 ringgit, 10 ringgit, 10,000 ringgit, they contribute towards saving the country. They have done their part that we are in this together. We face the problems together. We will overcome these problems together. And it has been together that makes the country stronger. And if we are together, we shall overcome. So whilst it may be considered unorthodox, but I think if we are unorthodox for the right reasons, we will do fine.
But then, but what would you do with the money though? Because as
they'll be used exclusively to pay off the federal government's debts. We have made that very clear. And in order to ensure or to allay the concerns of some parties, we have engaged an outside auditor to audit and to monitor the operation of this Malaysia Hope Fund.
Have you decided how it will be distributed toward the government debt?
No, we just pay off the government debt. So of course, if we can, if there's a 1 MDB debt payment coming along, perhaps we'll use that to pay 1 MDB debt payment.
It's a huge sum, so many countries involved. Do you think the Malaysian people are actually going to get back the money that they've lost?
We are going to get back some of them, not all of them, Sumisha. We have very good productive meetings with foreign countries. I've been informed that they have offered assistance from several countries. And a recent meeting with the Ambassador of the United States to Malaysia, Her Excellency assured me that they are activating investigations and they will intend to return any monies found stolen by 1 NDB from the people of Malaysia. And she also said that one of the options considered very strongly is to monetize these assets so they can be returned back to the Malaysian people. For example, if there are paintings that are seized, I mean, what's the use of these paintings to us Malaysians? Sell it out, monetize it, and can bring the money back to the Malaysian people.
One of the cost-cutting measures is the reviewing of mega projects. Now, among them being the ECRL and the high-speed rail. Are these projects being scrapped for good? The high-speed rail, for instance, and the ECRL, is there any situation where they would be back on the table?
Well, the ECRL project has not been scrapped because the Prime Minister did not announce that the ECRL is scrapped, but it will be reviewed and if possible renegotiated so that we can get a better price and get a better deal. And we are confident that China understands our debt predicament and they will be willing to help us out, give us a helping hand. As far as the HSR is concerned, it is scrapped for now, as announced by the Prime Minister. But in the future, that is something that we want to discuss further. For now, yes, but in the future, I think this is up for discussion. In that sense, we are talking about the possibility of deferring and discussing with our good neighbour, Singapore, to see how they can also help us out from this debt predicament.
And how could Singapore help Malaysia?
Well, they should. I'm sure they understand that we do not want to add on to our debt load and that we also need to make all these repayments for some of these high-cost projects, some of these financial scandals. I'm sure Singapore will understand that this is not the moment for us to embark on high-cost projects such as the high-speed rail. But for now, as the Prime Minister announced, the project will not go on. But of course, this is something that is possible in the future. A year from now, 2 years from now, there's something we need to discuss.
A project that has been mooted by the Prime Minister is a new national car project. Considering the last one did cost Malaysia money, what do you feel about embarking on this again?
Actually, he meant a second national car project that is funded solely by the private sector. It's private investment. It's not for a public investment. I've told the Prime Minister that we don't have the money and he knows it. So it's not from public funds. It's not like another Proton, no.
What can you say about what it's been like working as a coalition government with a Prime Minister who you used to oppose and now you're advising him on financial matters?
Well, it's quite a change, you know. sometimes if you look back, you ask me that question 10 years ago, I would definitely say no. I wouldn't believe that this would happen. But I think in a certain sense, Najib brought all of us together. Because of one NDB, we not only were able to unite to change the government, we were able to bring about a fresh impetus to reforms, institutional reforms, and also, well, to put our heads together to save the country. The Malaysia Hope Funds, I think, epitomizes the hope that of every Malaysian, that we're in this together. The recognition that despite our differences, despite us coming from different backgrounds, different races, different religions, at the end of the day, we are all Malaysians.
Do you think that this is a new Dr. Mahathir, a new government? Because some might say that the systems that are in place now were created during his time, and that, you know, you're seeing shakeups in government positions and so on. There might be some concern that the people who are gone will be replaced with more cronies, so to speak. What assurance can you give the public?
This is a very different Tun Dr. Mahathir from, well, the version 2.0. Mahathir 2.0 is very different from Mahathir 1.0. Tun is very impatient to carry out reforms. And at every cabinet meeting, he allows us to speak freely, and he insists that we must observe rule of law. He emphasizes that, of course, even though we suffered under the previous government, he himself suffered. But I said, we should not seek revenge. Our duty is to create a better country, not to seek revenge on our political opponents. If they have done wrong, let us ensure that the rule of law and due process has been observed. Let us ensure that they are given a fair trial in court. Of course, no one should escape the rule of law. But at the same time, he wants Malaysia to move forward. And he is very committed towards fulfilling the promises of Pakatan Harapan. If you remember Sumisha, he had said that he wanted to take up the education ministry portfolio. But when it was pointed out to him that that was contrary to the Pakatan Harapan manifesto, he immediately backtracked and gave the ministry to another person, to Dr. Masli. Now, would he have done the same under Mahathir version 1.0? Perhaps not. But the present Tun Dr. M has shown his reformist spirit and that he intends to be a man of his word. So I think this augurs well for, as I said, a new Malaysia that has freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom of information, and of course, the flowering of democracy.
Minister, you've said that there are still files that have yet to be uncovered. There are still things that you are finding out about this government. What can Malaysians expect in the weeks and the months to come? Are they going to be expecting more bad news?
Well, we hope that the worst is over. Perhaps one or two more instances. But I think hopefully from all the red files that we opened, of course, we are still going through them, but we hope that the worst is over. Perhaps there'll be another revelation later.
And are you prepared for that to uncover even more, given current debt levels already?
No, there are, of course, a lot of mini 1MDBs. But if you look at those on that large scale, like 1MDB, I think we have basically uncovered most of them. And if at all, I think, as I indicated just now, there will be probably just one more disclosure.
One more? When can we expect that?
When the time is right.
It involves something under the Finance Ministry?
Well, not under the Finance Ministry, but related to the Finance Ministry.
And that is on as big a scale as 1MDB?
Well, I wouldn't say a big scale as 1MDB, but major enough.
And next week, any timeline for when?
Probably not so soon.
Okay.
We hope to uncover all these within 100 days. So after that, we can move on. And I think that is where the cleaning up begins. The cleaning up, the stock. Well, once the stock taking is done, the cleaning up is done, the detoxification is completed, Malaysia can get back on track again.
Thank you very much, Minister, for joining us on Conversation
with. Thank you.